This Beyond Clean Articles on the Go feature is titled 3,778 Reasons the New Jersey Sterilization Outbreak Matters to You. Written by Hank Balch, founder and president of Beyond Clean. The impact of the 2018 dirty surgery headline out of New Jersey was understandably shocking, but it revealed much more about our industry than we may like to admit. Reoccurring themes of failure. In the curtailment of services letter sent from the New Jersey Department of Health to the Health Plus Surgery Center, all services were ordered to cease immediately, and the following deficiencies were highlighted as a representative sampling of the reasons why. No competencies completed for three staff regarding infection control. Sterile instruments observed with debris and hinges, rusty and discolored. Instructions for use, IFUs, were not available for all instruments. Biologicals are being used incorrectly, and validation testing is not being done correctly. Sterile processing professionals on the front line will immediately recognize these findings, and remember that we have seen very similar deficiencies before. In fact, as the old preacher in Ecclesiastes reminds us, there is nothing new under the sun. And when it comes to the challenges facing infection control of surgical instruments, this could not be truer. Headlines from Porter Adventist Hospital in Colorado, Detroit Medical Center in Michigan, and Brook Army Medical Center in Texas all sing the same sad song of broken processes and patients put at risk. But do we know the real risks, or at least the whole truth? The half-truths of low risks. Unsurprisingly, every surgical instrument quality breakdown that hits the news comes with a standard script that is then parroted by a mainstream media who is largely unaware of what actually went wrong with the sterilization process and how difficult it will be to fix the problem. One of the biggest examples of this twisting of the truth is actually perpetrated and encouraged by the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, themselves. In their toolkit for dealing with patient notifications, they encourage facilities to stay on message, repeat to reinforce. For example, start off by saying the risk is low, repeat using different words as often as possible. From the Guiding Principles of Risk Communication section. While I understand the technical statistics behind this argument, supported by industry leaders such as William Rotella in the American Journal of Infection Control, the manner in which hospitals use this far too often takes the form of public relations gymnastics, which end up being little more than a hypothetical odds game. Again and again, you see the same language in their press releases, which say, the risks are extremely low, etc. When in reality, patients are not asking for risk ratios in general, and they are definitely not asking for a lesson in comparable statistics, such as the likelihood of them dying in a car crash as compared to having surgery in your hospital. What they want is the truth, and rallying around the cry of low risk is not giving it to them. The dirty, rusty, unacceptable truth. So, what is the truth? What do patients and the public at large deserve to know about what is really happening in our sterile processing departments? The fact is, the deficiencies identified in the New Jersey outbreak are far, far too common in countless hospitals across the country. Ultimately, this is not a headline about some particular surgery center in some town on the East Coast. This is a story about a hospital or surgery center that is likely sitting in your backyard. Importantly, sterile processing professionals themselves are often aware of the subpar quality of their instruments and reprocessing programs long before an event occurs which would prompt a state inspection or make a national headline. Department leaders and frontline technicians must not only be empowered to raise the alarm and escalate these issues up the chain of command, but surgical service leaders and C-suite administrators must be committed to listening to these concerns and providing appropriate administrative and budgetary support to these teams before patient lives are put at risk. One final question to sum this article up. Is there any patient in the country who would willingly accept to undergo surgery in a facility with rusty surgical instrumentation? Whatever the reasons and whatever the risks, large percentages of our hospitals in the U.S. today are operating with surgical devices with visible rust and corrosion present. Until the public realizes this truth and raises appropriate amounts of hell, we will continue to see more of these headlines and get 3,778 more reasons why patients were unnecessarily put at risk. And this is nothing short of unacceptable.